Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. So this morning I finished working out at the gym, and then I stumbled into, probably not, maybe there was a purpose, got to speak to a few people actually, but I went into a thrift store on the way home. It's a place I pick up t-shirts once in a while, and we buy some of the homeless clothes too. But I'm flipping through the men's t-shirts, and that's what I was looking for, a couple of workout t-shirts or whatever. And I come across one that, it's a phrase that we often quote in this ministry, and it is this. This shirt said it all. Four words: I love my church. And the word church is underlined, as you can see in the graphic attached. Notice, I love my church. Now, the symbol they have on there is a New Age symbol, that little artwork. You can look that up. But notice, the modern church's epitaph is going to read, I love my church. Anybody who is running around wearing a shirt, and obviously some pastor proffered or initiated this situation, I love my church. You love your church. There is no church outside of the Savior of the church, Jesus Christ. When is the last time you ever saw a t-shirt that said, I love my Savior, my Lord, I love Jesus Christ? Never, unfortunately. But you always hear people say, I love my church. Misplaced affections. Idolatry. This is all fostered by the epidemic of vile, heretical, diabolical wolves that are running the modern church. I should say most of that which claims to be Christ's church. Would America really be in such a decline, that's a nice way of putting it, if the body of Christ were obeying Him, the body of Christ at large? You see, this, as usual in history, there's always a remnant, a small residue of that which claims to be the church that really is in love with and serving Christ, the great bridegroom that has engaged His bride. Of course, five of the virgins were not staying in fellowship with Him. That would account for this type of stuff we're talking about today, where people are loving their church instead of Jesus. So they were shut out of the eternal kingdom, and so shall every modern church counterfeit who refuses to repent and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I see no other way but then to come out from among them. For the most part, that's the case. Now, there are some good fellowships, whether they meet in a home or somewhere else, but the most of it is a bunch of people that have learned from their predecessor, their devilish predecessor, false pastors, and are just regurgitating what they've been told instead of becoming a disciple of Jesus on their own with an independent study of His Word for themselves every day. If you could feed your mouth every day, you can feed your spirit, right? There's no such thing as I don't have time. Well, then you're not a disciple. Jesus says it's daily or it's not. You see, people that have time for everything else, including breathing the breath and the air of God and consuming His food and drink, and you don't have time for Jesus, you are one of those foolish virgins, and you're going to be shut out of the eternal kingdom as a counterfeit. You're going to hear the eternal words of termination when Jesus said, depart. It's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I love my church. Aren't you a sweet little pansy?
I love my church.
Light in the loafers is putting it lightly, no pun intended. I love my church. Come join our little church club. We have good coffee on Sunday morning and great entertainment. And then we wonder why not one of us can name five people that are churchgoers who actually have a life with Jesus daily. They are seeking His holy face, fasting and praying, repenting of any sin they might commit, denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following Him, and have a regular fasting day and time, at least studying His word like it's going out of style and like their life depends on it, because it really does. Those people are the true remnant of God. Jesus said His flock is a little flock, quote unquote. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. His flock are those that are seeking His face with reckless abandon. He's all they have. You see, when the 5,000 turned away after Jesus had fed them in John 6, Jesus turned to His disciples and He says, will ye also leave or turn away and go? And Peter spoke up for the 12 and he said, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's so much in that, but let me tell you, the disciples, part of the remnant, they knew that there was nowhere else to go. Where are you going to go? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and who is and who is to come. He is the Almighty. Hallelujah. Revelation 1:8. That's Jesus Christ. If you're not sitting at His feet, if you're not sitting in His lap, if you're not loving on Him, you're in trouble. He owns it all, including your eternal soul. Jesus said, all souls are mine. He owns every soul by reason of creating them. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. The earth and the universe have always been God's, are presently the Lord's, and will always be the Lord's. The breath you breathe right now is on loan from Jesus Christ, who is the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I also love Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. Revelation 4:11. They were created for His pleasure. Colossians 1:17 says that everything is sustained by Him, Jesus Christ. God created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, I believe it is, verse 9 perhaps. Jesus Christ is our all in all, and if He's not yours, you will not be with Him eternally. The true disciple of Jesus isn't running around saying, I love my church. We have no such testimony in the scriptures of anyone who served God. You see, that's what church has become in this late hour, is a place where people basically are part of a club. They're part of a circus. They're being entertained. Their affections are being intentionally placed on the church organization and the pastor, which means they have to be stolen from Christ. And Paul exposes them in Colossians 2. He said they're not holding the head. They're not upholding Christ, the head of the church. They're not setting their affections on things above, rather on the things of the earth. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, they're not going to be with Him. They're not going to appear with Him. They're going to be shut out and vanquished into the bowels of eternal damnation for all eternity. Colossians chapter 3. Had a conversation with a guy who claims to be in Christ recently, and he started in on the selling me on going to his church and how important it is to go to church and all this stuff, and just regurgitating. I asked him if there were any scriptures for that, and he was sure there were, but he didn't know what they were. So what he's learning is what the pastor's teaching him. He's not learning the Word of God. You see, what the pastors are doing are simply perpetuating their own existence. These guys make their living through the church, not trusting God by faith. Now, what they want you to do is they want you to have faith and obey God and give to the ministry, but they don't want to have faith. They want to depend on, in many cases, the abundance that's coming in and not spread it around as we see it distributed in the New Testament among the earliest believers. Check it out on safeguardyoursoul.com, man. There's an explosive message or two or three on there. Just look up the word distribution. Look at a biblical model, an example of how funds were distributed in the early church. You're going to be shocked when you compare that to what we see these wolves who are making merchandise of the people and their damnation slumbered not are doing in the modern church world. I'm not saying men of God aren't to be provided for. The Bible says, muzzle not the mouth of the ox. Don't muzzle the ox. If you're not given the support where you're getting fed, then actually that's a sin, man. The Bible says to communicate with, that means to help support by prayer and actually literally funding those from which the ministry or ministries from that you're getting fed by. Galatians 6:6, and that's not really our subject, but 1 Corinthians 9 speaks about what man goes to war of his own charges. I mean, do our Air Force, Navy, Army, and Marine Corps and Coast Guard pay their own way to go to war for us? No, man. They're worthy of their hire. The workman is worthy of their hire, but you got to make sure that when you put people overseas to defend your country or here on our own soil against domestic enemies, of which we have many, don't we? We're blessed to have them. They get funded by our tax money, but they're prepared. They're ready to go. They went to boot camp. Man, I could go a million ways on this subject, but you see, that's what you got. You got people that have been in churches for years and decades even, and they're still in boot camp. They never got activated. The pastor doesn't want them to be activated. He wants them sitting there, shutting up, and going along with his little circus and his little church club and popping the money in the coffer every week. Now, here's the thing. If a man is not doing the work of God, which is to equip the body of Christ, the individual members, to go do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:11-14. Why are you funding that? You're funding a fraud, and God's holding it against you because you're bidding Godspeed to false teachers who are his enemies. He didn't ordain that people in the New Testament record makes it clear to go set up their little church and then keep his sheep cornered and corralled for their own purposes forever and ever. Let me ask you this, beloved, and I love you, man. And if you listen to this channel, you're going to be rebuked and exhorted, but it's all for your good. You're going to be put up against the Word of God. Look, man, when's the last time you, my friend, won somebody to Jesus? See, there you go. I mean, Jesus saved somebody recently that, man, this dude wasn't saved 3 or 4 hours. Get this. And he sent me an email and said, Brother Todd, I've been reading on the website the scriptures about fasting and prayer. Do you think it's a good idea for me to go on a 3-day fast and prayer, time of fasting and prayer? He'd been saved less than 4 or 5 hours. Now, what's the difference? Well, when they go join a church, that's Satan's way of throwing a wet blanket over the fire of God in people. I mean, this guy cannot read and study enough. He does it day and night. He's consumed. What's the difference? Well, no men, no wicked animals with the demons that blanket people. There's a cloud of darkness over all this stuff. Have come into this guy's life, and prayerfully, they never will. I don't tell people, go find a good church. No, you are the church. Now, be a member of Christ's church. Eat his word. Devour it every day. Seek his face. Rejoice in him. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And seek his face. You don't need a man leading you to do that. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Who said that Sunday morning that some official so-called man-appointed church building? Who put him in charge? He needs a pastor himself. He needs to get saved in most cases. And you call that official authority when he's not even producing disciples? You shall know them by their fruits. Look, man, elders, irrefutably, fact, Ephesians 4:11-12, are there for the perfecting, the maturing, and equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you're sitting under a man and it's not resulted in you doing ministry? He's a false prophet. Tell him I said it and have him call me if he's man enough. That's why these guys never expose wolves, which Jesus and his apostles and the prophets did proliferately. Is that a word? With great proliferation, I should say. Constantly. By name. And the only reason why a man that claims to be serving Christ is not exposing the wolves is because he is one. And one of their characteristics is that they are making merchandise of you. It's all about their little agenda, getting you fat, dumb, and happy, sitting there tickling your ears, never preaching on hell, judgment, holiness, the crucified life, the return of Jesus, etc. Run for your life, beloved. Perhaps Hosea the prophet coined it best. For Israel, listen to this. Wow. For Israel, people that claim to be of God, just like the modern church claims to be representing and of Christ, that's a false, they're swearing falsely. For Israel hath forgotten his maker and buildeth temples. Notice, it's all about the temple. We've made an idol out of the church building and the church organization. It's no longer about Jesus. It hadn't been for a long time, largely before any of us were even born. We've been born into this apostasy which was prophesied of these last days, and we must shake ourselves, take a step back, get before the Lord, cry out to God to open our eyes and to give us clear discernment. You see, you've been engrafted into, away from Christ, into that which claims to be of Christ, and into building temples, having forgotten our Maker. See, notice, for Israel hath forgotten his Maker and buildeth temples. Buildeth temples. I love my church. See, it's all about the church. It's all about the club. It's all about these temples that we've made. But we see not one penny collected in the New Testament record to build a building. God didn't want us corralled. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you see, these false teachers have made you think you have to be under their authority and driven by them, but you're being driven in the wrong direction because Christ is not being elevated in your life. They're not the wind underneath your wings. No, they're a wet blanket over your fire, and so you have no more fire. They're not equipping you for the work of the ministry. Get out of the way, you devil, because God is going to judge you, sir, if you're not the wind under the wings, if you're not equipping believers under your care to do the work of the ministry and provoking them to do that. When's the last time you asked them when the last time they got somebody saved? No, you want to do it all yourself so you can feel like you're meriting that money that you're getting paid, because what you have is a job. You operate it like a profession instead of a passion. You're not walking by faith, although you tell them to walk by faith as you take their coin and count the nickels, noses, and numbers as you make merchandise of them. This is nothing new. There's no new thing under the sun. I want you to read, let's start with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, and then also Ezekiel 34. Those are two monumental chapters on how, as we see in there on record, God absolutely lambasting and plundering the false leaders among his people. We often hear the observation that there's not a lot of men going to the modern churches, and the ladies go, I guess, in a larger number. I have never looked up the percentage. It's really not that important, but I wonder why. You ever heard the saying and made the observation that women know women and men know men? Why? Because they are. The men are men and the women are women, so they know a woman when she's fake. I wonder if that fits here. I'm just talking as a man. I wonder if these men see that these false pastors, which the Bible talks a lot about, if you think, man, this guy's crazy, he's talking about leaders and exposing them, and well, you better get you an education. And that's Genesis to Revelation, and wake up. Wake up, man. You're not going to wake up till you get the word in you, because it's the entrance of his word that's going to give you light. You got darkness in your heart, and God says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But what is your current knowledge of the most important book in all of history, the Bible, the King James Bible for the English-speaking people? What is your knowledge of the word of God? His story. What is it? How can we claim to have an education when we don't even know the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith? One commentator, Adam Clark, concerning this verse, Hosea 8:14, Israel hath forgotten his maker and builded temples. He notes that therefore they forgot their maker and therefore built temples to other gods. That's really just the same thing we see today. We see people building churches to their own honor. That's a false god. These mere men, these idle shepherds. Zechariah chapter 11, verse, I think it's verse 17. He calls them idle, I-D-O-L, shepherds. Zechariah 11, 17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. That all has representation. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now, suffice it to say that the idle shepherds are under the curse of God. And notice they leave the flock. They not only leave them physically, that happens, but even more so, they leave them alone. They do not develop them and prayerfully with the word of God, getting out of the way of God, by the way, instead of reigning over them as lords, but foster in them and cause by the Spirit of God working through them, these people, the people in their care, to be matured in Christ and do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:11 through 12. These guys are under a curse, and if you are supporting any of them, you're bidding Godspeed to an enemy of the Lord who is not coming in the doctrine of the Lord, 2 John verse 9, 10, and 11, or 9, yeah, right in there, the end of 2 John. You're bidding Godspeed. You're supporting them, and they're not doing the work of the Lord, yet they're getting paid for it, and they claim to be representing Christ, but they don't have the fruit that demonstrates that they're doing what God's called them to do, and that would be to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Well, how do you know that, brother? Well, please tell me how many people you personally know. I can tell you myself, it's less than a handful, and I know a lot of Christians that are good churchgoers and also simultaneously true disciples of Jesus. See, the local churches have worked against the work of Christ in the people, and that's their design. Satan has a hold of the modern church and has it under a dark cloud. Be careful and beware. They have forgotten their maker. They are not upholding the head of the church by whose blood were bought and brought into the church exclusively, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, 18 and 19. They have yoked the people down and smothered. They're smothering them and using them for their resources and stealing the time God gave them on the earth so that they're not using their talents, if you will. I'm not talking about the talent to sing or something like that. I'm talking about whatever God gives you, including your resources, your money, everything that we have is from God. And we're going to give account for that. We're going to give personal account before the Lord. And remember, God only rewards those who are profitably using what He already gave them, what He's already given them. Everyone else is under the curse of diminishing returns. Read the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Let me say it again. God only rewards those who are profitably using what He's already given them. Everyone else, like the man who buried his talent, right? Everyone else is under the curse of diminishing returns. Matthew 21, one of the verses in there says, "For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has." Are you investing what God gave you into fertile ground or cursed ground? You better discern, because it's going to and already is costing you if you aren't investing what God gave you correctly. To give to and support and give your attention and your time to, and your many that are part of these modern churches, signed up for church membership. Again, nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. In fact, I think, this is personal, I believe that through this contract, a dark demon spirit comes over the life of that fellowship and over the life of the individuals in it. You can look up the category on Safeguard Your Soul called church membership. I don't think you'll ever be the same if you look at some of that stuff. Church membership, is that the way we do it today? Is that Bible? Is that biblical? There's a resounding no answer to that one. Check it out, church membership category on safeguardyoursoul.com. You'll find a drop-down menu with categories. I think there's probably 200 or so categories on that website. It's just absolutely a treasure trove of stimulating, edifying, biblical messages. So on this topic of false prophets, which the Bible speaks so much about, when you start seeing the scriptures that invested in warning God's people about the false leaders, it's going to flip your wig, if you know what I mean. We've got two books on this topic. No, we're not trying to sell books. We don't make any money on the books. We send far more books into prisons for free with shipping. Cost about $10 per book. Books going out every week to people that are currently incarcerated. But these are resources full of scripture, and all the scripture and all of the books that we have are highlighted. So forget reading anything else that's not highlighted. Just go through and read all the scriptures. You will have a wealth of knowledge on these topics. One of the topics is Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. That's one of the book titles. The other one is called Predators in Our Pulpits. Very self-evident what the topic is. You're going to be amazed at how many scriptures. Let me tell you something. If you're a loving father, you're warning your children about bad actors out there, aren't you? Let me just say it this way. You're not a good parent if you're not warning your little babies and your children at all stages about evildoers out there. Not to be afraid and walk in fear, but to be aware of their surroundings and of the wiles of the devil. You're not a good leader. You're not a good pastor. You're not a good parent if you're not doing that. There's something wrong with you. You don't love. You're not walking in love toward your own children, your own people that you're supposed to be pastoring. See, warning is a loving gesture and operation to protect your people. When my sisters were younger, my dad, he would get them in the driveway when they were getting around the age of driving. He'd have them get in the car and lock the door. He said, do it again. Do it again. He'd make them do it like 25 or 50 times. So it was automatic that when they got in that car, they automatically locked it. Second nature. Now, you and I both know that there would be a lot of ladies and even men alive today if they'd have done that one little thing. Or if somebody had showed them to do that, they go up to a red light. We see the stories all the time. Some thug runs up, opens the door, kidnaps them or throws them out or kills them. But if he wouldn't have been able to open the door, if somebody would have taught them to lock the door for protection, warning, that wouldn't have happened. By the way, if that happens, you just hit the gas, man. Run over them or get out of there. Sorry. All right. Protection is out of love. That's what warning's about. It's for protection. So the great shepherds, think about the actual shepherds with the sheep out on the pasture and how they have to keep, and the Bible uses this image a lot, so they have to keep those sheep protected from the wolves and from the lions. There's a lot of false prophet wolves and lions. The Bible says, beloved, believe not. Do not believe. It's a command. Believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they're of God. For many false prophets going out into the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Gullibility is not a virtue. It's a curse. Stop it. Pray for discernment. Discern through the word. Look for the fruit. If a man is not developing, if his life is not getting you in the word and seeing that, and by the grace of God, now he can't make you do it. You got to obey God. But as he oversees you with grace and prayerfully helps you, rebukes you, exhorts you, comforts you, whatever needs to be done at the time, and preaches the word to you and does everything he can to get you into it. If he's not doing that, then he's not doing the duty of an elder. So Zechariah 11:17, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. One writer says, woe to the idle shepherd, the worthless or good for nothing shepherd. Boy, we got a lot of them today. Not all of them, but there is a lot of them. And that's why you got people running around and they're even creating t-shirts. I love my church. I don't love the one who shed his blood to buy the church, but I love my church. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? That's what you got. That's a worthless, idle shepherd, according to the Bible. So that's what idle shepherd means, according to Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd. He's made an idol. He's intercepted the affections and the money of the people, and it's all about him. He's building his own church business, and he is as sure for hell as if he was already there. 2 Peter 2:1-3, his damnation, that is specifically of false teachers and false prophets, is coming. He even uses the word damnation. His damnation slumbereth not. What does that mean? God is furious with false leaders like that because they have corralled and misled and are leading his sheep to hell. Why would Paul have cried for 3 years, day and night, knowing false prophets were coming in among the church if their souls, their eternal souls, were not at jeopardy? The quick answer, he wouldn't have. He cried for 3 years, Acts chapter 20, verse 27 through 32. And right there he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. See, that's what a true overseer and elder will do. He's not trying to reign over you. His job is to be the wind underneath your wings and to commend you to God yourself and to the word of God, Acts 20, verse 32. See, but most of these false teachers, they're another way we know them, they don't want you in the Word. They want you to depend on what they got to preach on Sunday morning. They want you to come over there and hear them hoopla, whatever they do, all of this stage act a lot of them do. You got to wear the three-piece suit. I mean, God forbid, because it's like they're on display. Think about idol, I-D-O-L, shepherd. See, the church building, the temple, the church organization, the pastors have all become the idol and replaced the reign of Christ on your heart. This is anti-Christ. Anti meaning in place of. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for revelation of anti-Christ. So Adam Clark says that idol shepherd refers to worthless or good for nothing shepherds. There you go. They're not doing what God called under shepherds, elders in his body to do. And that's to equip the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. And then he says the shepherd or these elders are in name only, but they're not performing the work of an elder or a true under shepherd of the great shepherd, Jesus. Again, that's Zechariah 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Now let's go a little bit into Jeremiah 23. I mentioned Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34. I want you to read those, man. Put your seatbelt on. Woe, he says, be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Wow. That's a pedal to the metal start right there, man. He comes out swinging. Whoa. Whenever you see the word whoa, that's the most severe warnings in the Bible. Jesus used that term several times. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock. Now, he's talking directly to these false shepherds. Not only then, but to the ones now. You have scattered my flock. In other words, scattered them away from him and put their attention on you and your stupid little church business enterprise and on you and all your fancy preaching. You see, Paul said he didn't come to the Corinthians or any of the believers he ministered to, for that matter, with excellency of speech. Why? So that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He didn't want to get in the way. He didn't want their affections on him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 through chapter 2, verse 5. That's earth shaking. Let me say it again. Write it down unless you're driving and really pour over that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. End of 1 Corinthians 1, beginning of chapter 2. Amazing. That's what a true under-shepherd does. He stays out of God's way. He wants them loving Jesus, not him. And yet we have so many running around saying, I love my church, instead of I love you, Jesus. Wow. There's a new song out I hear on the radio. It talks about, let me tell you about my Jesus. Man, I just about cry every time I think about that. And yet we're stealing the affections of the Son of God who bled on Calvary's cruel cross for our sins. Shame on us. It's not about us. It's about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to the earth to die, to purchase us into his family. All praise and honor and glory goes to Jesus. And in every snapshot of heaven we see in Revelation, it's all about the angels and those around the throne of God worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. So, verse 2, Jeremiah 23, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that means the people of God Israel, against the pastors. He's against these pastors that have what? Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. You didn't nurture and edify and help them grow. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. He's going to judge them, just like we read in Zechariah 11:17. They're under his divine judgment. And I will gather the remnant of of my flock out of the countries. It goes on, and I will set up shepherds. So God does have some shepherds that are obeying him. They're few, but they are out there. Praise God. They're normally independent. They're not caught up in these systems, these church systems, man. That's about 100% going to be false. Notice as we transition, and let's go ahead and close. There's so much to be said about this, and that's why I referred you to the two books. In fact, we have a two-book pack on these books. You can buy them at a percentage discount. It's the Wolf Pack, Exposé Pack, or something like that. And again, you'll see it on the website on the store page, and it's got two books in it, and it's Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, and the other book is Predators in Our Pulpits. There's so much wealth of biblical scripture knowledge in those books. Absolutely amazing. Even if you're a mature Christian, when you read this book, you're going to be astounded at how many times God addresses this. Yet we never hear this from the pulpits. Again, if a man is not warning you of wolves, it's because he is one, period and without exception. Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge, that's the word, and understanding. That's what true shepherds do. They nurture those precious sheep and feed them the pure word of God. And by the way, get the King James Bible. If you claim to be a representative for Christ, I'm rebuking you right now openly if you're still using one of these fake, fraud, so-called Bibles. Man up and get a King James Bible. It's not preference. It's conviction based on comparison. You're in darkness if you haven't even looked into this thing. Are you kidding me? Find the blood of Jesus in Colossians 1:14 for me, please, in your fake little phony sissy Bible. Let me help you. It's not there. It's been taken out. That's enough. Get rid of it. Burn it. Tell you people that you're going to read from the King James Bible, the real Bible, every time y'all get together. Let's finish, saints, before I go off on some other tangent. Psalm 27:4. This is those that have a heart after God. Amen. Those that are free of the snares of the devil, including being under one of the devil's false prophet wolves that so often operate in today's church world, which has become nothing but a business. So the psalmist says, Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice the modern church frauds will say, see, you got to come to the house of the Lord. Oh, watch yourself, guys. That's a deception that they use. No different than when they say, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Wait a minute. That doesn't say go to church every Sunday in your little church building. True believers fellowship every day with other believers, man, just like the New Testament believers did. Notice in Acts 2:42, they gathered together house to house daily in the end of Acts 2, and they were enthralled in Christ, and they prayed together, they fellowshiped together, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking bread. There was four things mentioned there in Acts 2:42. They couldn't get enough of Jesus, and it was daily. That's how Jesus qualified our serving of him. It's daily. It's not, I go to church once a week. See, that's, and then what do? You depend on that. It becomes something that you depend on. And that's one of the big problems there. And I'm not saying that's directly attributed to the false teachers, but they like it. Why? Because you get your feeding there once a week. Wow. How can you sustain a life with Christ? Instead of them saying, maybe you don't need to come here all the time. You need to be out there seeking God every day on your own, because if you don't swim, you're going to sink. Sink or swim. Seek God. Know God. Love God. Not this church. Not me. Love him. The heart of the true disciple, a man after God's own heart, is to say, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house. That means the presence of the Lord. That could include the people of God, but not at some certain building. It's a spiritual understanding we need here. Zion is the kingdom of Christ, not limited to the little people your pastor has corralled for Sunday morning and is making merchandise of, in many cases. See, his heart was after the Lord. Notice in verse 8, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. But what the false pastors today telling you is, See, God told him to seek his face. See, God's face. The false pastors are telling you, come to my church. So much so that the people are turning around and having t-shirts made that said, I love my church. I don't love my church. There's only one church. It's bought by the blood of the Lamb, the King, and bridegroom of the only church who is raised from the dead and sits on the Father's right hand making intercession for that church. And that church, the Greek word ekklesia, it's the people of God, all of them, not just the ones in your little club on Sunday morning that you've built. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Notice the true believer, the true New Testament bought by the blood of Jesus, disciple of Christ, is in love with Jesus, not his church. He talks about Jesus. He shares scripture. He asks God to fill him up so his cup's running over and her cup's running over every day to reach everybody they can with the love and the truth of Christ, not just cardoning or corralling it off their Christianity into a Sunday morning entertainment hour for an hour. That's ridiculous, folks. Beware, beware. What is the fruit of your life? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And that means the saving faith of the gospel of Christ who died, was buried, and raised again from the dead, and not in some organization or pastor or author or any of this kind of stuff. But it's got to be purely in Christ. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. That's Christ. Where is your love? What percentage out of 100% is all of your love and your affection set on Christ? Is it 100% on Christ, or is it being stolen, at least some of it, by somebody who is misdirecting the affections of your heart and not lifting up the head of the church, the one who bought the church with his own blood, Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:18-19. God bless you, saints. Thank you for listening, and may God rebuke us and correct us in any way that we need to be corrected, because whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening and praying for the fruitfulness of this outreach to reach more and more people with the Word of God. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.